Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing Amen style kick surgery in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Make the kick hit with real weight without losing the brace personality, because that's the trick in drum and bass, right? An Amen break already has attitude. It already has movement, but when you drop it into a modern mix, especially a dark roller or a neuro-leaning track, the kick can feel a little narrow, a little messy, or just not heavy enough to anchor the groove. So instead of just slapping an extra kick on top, we're going to extract the kick's best transient, build a controlled low-end body around it, and make the whole thing feel like one intentional instrument. Set your project around 170 to 174 BPM. That puts you in the right pocket for the classic DNB feel. Now drag in your Amen break or Amen style loop onto an audio track, and the first thing to do is prepare it properly. Turn warp on, and use beats mode so you preserve the drum transients. If the break is heavily chopped, start with a preserve setting around 1/16 or 1/8. Then listen closely to the transient behavior. If the kick is too spiky, reduce the transient sensitivity a bit. If the attack feels blurred, bring it up. We're not trying to sterilize the break. We're trying to expose the best part of the kick so we can reshape it. Our really important pro move here is to duplicate the original break and keep one copy untouched. That way you've always got a reference. This matters because once you start processing, it's easy to lose the original groove in pursuit of more weight. And in this style, groove is sacred. If the kick gets bigger but the break stops swinging, you've probably gone too far. Now zoom in and locate the main kick hits. In an Amen, the kick often has a strong front edge, but the tail can be a bit chaotic. That's fine. We're not looking for a clean modern kick sample. We're mining the break for useful impact. Use manual slicing if you can, because at this level you want precision. Slice the audio so you can isolate the exact hit that has the strongest transient and the most useful low body. Solo the slices and audition them quietly. You're listening for the kick that feels most solid without dragging a messy tail behind it. Once you find the best one, duplicate that slice to a new track and trim it down so it becomes your dedicated kick source. At this point, you're basically turning a breakbeat fragment into a custom drum instrument. A smart way to think about this is in layers. The first layer is the attack. The second layer is the low body. The third layer is what I'd call the context layer, which is the little bit of character that helps the kick read against hats, snare, and bass. If you treat the kick as a multi-stage instrument instead of just a sample, your edits get much more intentional. Let's shape the transient first. On the isolated kick track, add drum bus. This is one of Ableton's best tools for adding density and perceived weight fast. Start with drive around 5 to 15%. Keep crunch low unless you want noticeable grit. Boom can help, but use it carefully. Try somewhere around 25 to 55 Hz depending on the track, and keep boom decay short, maybe 80 to 160 milliseconds. If the kick needs to speak more clearly through a dense bass line, push the transients up a bit. Then follow that with EQ8. Look for boxy buildup around 180 to 350 Hz, and carve some of that out if needed. If the kick feels too clicky but not heavy enough, don't just boost the top. Instead, shape the body around 90 to 140 Hz and tame any harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz zone if the attack is getting brittle. The idea is to make the kick read on both big systems and smaller speakers. In DNB, the kick has to survive a very crowded arrangement, so body matters just as much as click. Now we build the low-end body layer. Duplicate the isolated kick track and turn that copy into your weight layer. This is where the kick gets its authority. On the duplicate, use EQ8 and low-pass it around 120 to 180 Hz. If there's useless rumble below the mix's useful sub-area, high-pass gently around 25 to 30 Hz. Then add saturator, turn on soft clip, and give it a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. That saturation is doing something really important. It's creating harmonics that help the kick feel bigger without simply making it louder. If the tail is inconsistent, you can resample the kick into a fresh audio clip and tighten it up. Sometimes a little resampling is the move, because once you commit the sound to audio, you can shape it as one object instead of juggling several devices. If you want even more control, put the body layer into simpler in one-shot mode. That gives you tight playback and clean repeatability. You can also put auto filter before the saturation on the body layer. Keep it low-passed and focused, and if you want subtle movement across the arrangement, automate the cutoff slightly from section to section. That can make the kick feel alive without changing the rhythm. Just keep the body layer mono. Low-end width is usually fake power. It might sound bigger in solo, but it often weakens the punch in the full mix. Now comes one of the most important steps, phase alignment. The transient layer and the body layer have to support each other. If they fight each other, the kick disappears instead of getting heavier. Zoom in and nudge one of the layers by a few samples if needed. Don't make random big moves. We're talking micro edits. Tiny shifts can change the feel a lot once you're living in the sub-region. Check the kick in isolation, then with the bass line, then in mono. Use utility on the low-end layer and hit mono. If the punch improves in mono, that's a really good sign. If it gets thinner, the timing or EQ probably needs work. The goal is for the transient to lead and the body to arrive right behind it, or ideally to lock together cleanly. You want one hit, not two ideas colliding. This is a place where spectrum and waveform both matter. The waveform tells you about the impact shape, but the spectrum tells you whether the energy is actually sitting where the mix can support it. A kick can look punchy and still be wrong. Don't trust solo mode too much either. Solo can be deceptive. The real test is always the kick against the bass and snare in the actual drop. Once the layers are working, put them through a drum bus. Glue compressor is great here, but keep it subtle. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto or somewhere around 1/10 to 3/10 of a second, ratio around 2 to 1, and only aim for about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. We want glue, not flattening. If the compressor starts killing the break swing, back off. In this style, preserving the human lilt is part of the sound. If you want a more aggressive result, resample the processed kick group and then hit that bounce with another pass of processing. A little saturator, maybe a touch of erosion if you want texture, or another round of drum bus can make it feel more finished. This is classic D&B workflow. Commit the sound, then treat the bounce like a new instrument. After resampling, tiny clip gain changes or slight warp adjustments can lock the front edge in place and make the groove feel more intentional. Now let's talk about how this kick lives inside the actual pattern. Don't program it like a generic four-on-the-floor hit. Think in terms of breakbeat phrasing. In a darker roller, you might keep the full kick weight sparse in the first two bars, then add little kick fragments or extra pre-snare hits in the next phrase to build tension. In a jungle or old-school-inspired section, let the kick accent the natural swing of the break instead of forcing every hit to the same velocity. If you've converted the slices to MIDI, use the velocity lane. Even a small range like 5 to 15 points can help the kick breathe. And if you want more motion, create ghost kicks. Low velocity, filtered hits before the main impact can make the groove feel like it's leaning forward without cluttering the low end. That kind of controlled instability is gold in D&B. A strong arrangement trick is to automate the kick's density over time. For example, in the first 8 bars, keep the kick a little cleaner and more restrained. Then in the second 8, increase drive slightly, deepen the low mid cut, or open the body layers filter a bit more. That kind of evolution makes the same kick feel like it's developing with the track. You're giving the listener a sense of escalation without changing the whole pattern. Here's another advanced concept. Make two kick modes. One can be punchier and tighter for the downbeat. The other can be shorter, dirtier, and better for offbeat accents or transitions. You can do that with separate tracks, or if you're working inside a drum rack, you can use chain selection to switch between them. That gives you a lot of flexibility without rebuilding the sound each time. You can also use velocity-dependent processing if you want to get really deep. For example, map velocity to filter cutoff, drive, or body volume. That way harder hits get more weight while ghosted hits stay lean. It makes the instrument feel more expressive and keeps the pattern from sounding flat. If you want a more worn, jungle-like personality, try a broken tape version. Duplicate the kick. Pitch it down slightly, distort it more, and low pass it hard. Blend it very quietly underneath the main kick. You probably won't notice it consciously, but it can add a really nice sense of grime and age. Now, the big mistake to avoid is over-thickening the body. If the tail gets too long, it starts fighting the bass line and the groove gets sluggish. Another common mistake is trying to solve everything with EQ boosts. Don't just keep pumping 50 to 100 Hz and hoping it turns into power. Usually that just creates mud. Use timing, saturation, and phase alignment first. And always audition in context with the bass line, because a kick that sounds massive alone can vanish the second the sub enters. For this lesson, a solid practice move is to build two versions of the same amen kick. Make one cleaner and tighter, with minimal saturation and a short body. Then make a heavier, darker version with more drive, a slightly longer body layer, and maybe a touch of filtered distortion. Put both into the same 8-bar loop at 172 BPM. Compare them against the same bass line, and test them in mono. Then automate one parameter across the second half of the loop, like drum bus drive or auto filter cutoff. You'll learn very quickly how far you can push the weight before the groove starts to blur. So let's wrap it up. The core workflow is this. Find the amen kick attack, isolate it, build a controlled low body layer, align the layers so they work together, then process the kick in context with the rest of the drums and bass. Use Ableton stock tools like Warp, Drum Bus, EQ8, Saturator, Utility, Glue Compressor, and Auto Filter to shape the hit with intention. If you get this right, your amen break stops sounding like a loop and starts sounding like a designed instrument. And in drum and bass, that's the difference between something that just plays and something that really moves the room.